Effective Living with Reverend Henry Hubert. May you be blessed as you listen. Continuing with previous messages.
Let's read on. That he took Peter, John, and James and went up on a high mountain to what? To pray. That's what I was looking for. So they went not for a fanfare, to pray. Amen. Now, it is said that that mountain was Jesus' prayer grounds when he lived in Galilee. You know, Jesus really stayed in Galilee, in a city called Capernaum. That was where he stayed for a long time. So this mountain was his prayer grounds. And I don't know why Jesus would choose this place for prayer, like I was saying, because it's a whole lot of work to climb it alone. I'm not surprised the rest were sleeping because they must be tired. Verse 29, as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening. Do you see how prayer can do to a human being? And this is not 30 minutes prayer. We are talking about he and the disciples have prayed and they have fallen asleep. So she tell you that they have prayed for many hours and they have fallen asleep. Then he continued praying and praying until his face changed. I can tell you that prayer alone has the power to change you. I'm telling you, prayer can change you and make you look nicer. Because, you see, the more you pray for long hours, the more you interact with the Spirit, and the more the Spirit has impact on you, you begin to look younger and nicer. His face changed, and his robe became white and glistening. Verse 30, and behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his disease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened as they were parting from him that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Not knowing what he said. He didn't know what he was saying, but he was talking. And most of the time, the people who talk a lot, they pray little. And everything they say is full of confusion. Amen. Yeah, we have some of them in church like that. They talk a lot. They pray little. That was Peter didn't know what he was saying, but he was talking. How can you sleep, huh? When you wake up, then you want to advise those who have been awake all along. Somebody has been awake. You don't even know. You should have been asking questions. Oh, these two people, where did they come from? How did they appear? And who are they? Ask questions. But Peter said, Jesus, I have an instruction for you. Let us not leave here. This place is too good. Let's make three tents. One for Elijah, one for Moses, one for you. We know that once we have your own, we will also have some to enjoy. Verse 34. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them. That's what I wanted you to see. What happened? A cloud overshadowed them and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. Verse 35. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. So the whole mountain became covered suddenly with a cloud. So that place became different. It was no longer an ordinary place. A whole open heaven had been created. A whole open heaven has been created. And that's what prayer does. Prayer changes a place. That is why I tell people, have a specific place of prayer in your house. You have to pray everywhere. You must know how to pray everywhere. In the office, even if you are in church, you can pray undertone. Don't disturb people. But you must have a place of prayer. You must have a prayer altar in your house. Because constant, consistent prayer in a place creates an open heaven. Amen. Now, when they were looking for Jesus to arrest, Judas went to take money and said, I can help you catch him. Do you know why? Because Judas knew that every night there's a place where Jesus could be found. And where was that place? The Garden of Gethsemane. It was a garden that belonged to a very rich man. Jesus asked permission to go there every night and pray. You see, in Jesus' life, he always likes specific places to pray. So have a specific place of prayer. Number two, have specific time of prayer. Try and develop a prayer schedules for yourself. It's very important. Amen. Yeah. Have specific times when God knows that my son or my daughter is going to call. It doesn't mean other times of the day you cannot pray. You can still pray other times of the day, but that particular time there, it must become
your ritual.
Good ritual, godly one, where you go before God. So prayer creates atmosphere. Why? Because it opens the heavens. Look at Luke chapter 3. Luke 3 verse 15. Now, as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, 16. John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to lose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Whose winnowing fan is hand, he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor, gather the wheat into his barn, burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. And many other exhortations he preached to the people. Verse 21. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was what? Opened. Amen? While he prayed, the heaven was what? Opened. Verse 22. And the Holy Spirit descended. Amen? And a voice came from heaven saying, you are my beloved son. So, prayer creates an atmosphere. You pray at a place constantly. What you do is that you create an open heaven that causes the presence of God to begin to abide over the place. Amen? Let me add one more before I say this. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Can we read one verse before this? 13. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. This all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brothers. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples altogether. The number of names was about 120. Amen. So in the upper room, there is something that was happening that necessitated the event of Pentecost. Hallelujah. What happened? They were with one accord and they were doing only one thing. They were praying. I believe they were fasting too because those times were so terrible. You know, Jesus has left and he said they should wait and the Holy Spirit is going to come. They don't know when he's going to come. You know, so much uncertainty. And Jesus left on the 40th day of the resurrection. And they were in the upper room for 10 days praying. Amen? But after 10 days, you know what happened? On the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, the Bible said the Spirit moved, filled the place, and tongues of fire began to fall on all of them, and they began to speak in tongues. What was happening? That upper room, till today, I have been there. You can feel the presence. Hallelujah. People have gone there and had different kinds of experiences. Let me tell you, one of the things the devil hates is prayer in your house. If there's one thing the devil wants to stop going on in your house, is prayer. That's why if a demon-possessed person enters your house, the first thing he goes after is your prayer life. It's your prayer life. Because if he can stop the prayer, he will shut up access to the spirit realm. The presence of God will cease to flow. And when that begins to happen, then they can have more control. So, if you want to create an atmosphere of God's presence that will compel good things to be happening in your home, good things to be happening in your shop or in your office, the first thing you must check is prayer. So anytime you realize that, these days, if I want to pray in the house, suddenly I sleep. You must know something is wrong with what? The atmosphere. Something is wrong. There is an intruder. You know, that is why sometimes, let me tell you, it's very easy for you, even fasting, it's very easy for you to fast where you normally are than when you go somewhere else. There are certain homes, when you enter there, you can't fast. When you wake up, you will be compelled, you will eat, because there is a controlling atmosphere. There's a controlling force in the atmosphere. So when certain people enter your space and suddenly they water down on prayer. They speak against fasting. They talk down on your spirituality. You know, you are becoming too spiritual. You are becoming, you know, some people, when they come near you, suddenly you become carnal. Suddenly you become carnal. Hallelujah. See, you have to learn to guard your prayer life. Look at Jesus. He doesn't want everybody to go with him to pray. Because there are some people, when you go to pray with them, you can't pray more than 10 minutes. they'll be saying, haven't we finished? How long? Don't you think God has heard us by this time? Prayer. Everybody say prayer. Yeah. So prayer creates atmosphere. I can show you more scriptures, but our time is all gone. So your prayer life helps to create an atmosphere. Amen. You know, there are certain places when you get there, you pray by all means. Because the atmosphere dominant influences prayer. Hallelujah. That's why those of you who go to certain prayer camps, you see that there are certain prayer camps, they're good ones, not all of them. There are certain prayer camps, when you get there, you will just fast so easily. You will not eat for days. You know, in South Korea, there is a prayer mountain that belongs to Dr. Yonggi Choo. It is caves that are dug into mountains. You can't stand in it. You can only kneel. So you are compelled to kneel and pray. You can't sleep in it because it's not long enough. And there is no way you will enter that place. Even if you are the devil, you will pray. See, so you have to learn to create and protect your space like that, so that it is full of the presence that motivates you to pray all the time. Because when that happens, you give your home access to the realm of the spirit for God to have a direct flow of his presence into your home all the time. Amen? And the atmosphere that you create compels certain things to happen. Good things will happen. Amen. The second thing that creates atmosphere is what? Faith. How does faith come? The word of God. So if you want to create the right atmosphere of God, let the word of God dominate the place. Bible says God confirms his word. Mark chapter 16, verse 19. So then after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs and wonders. God always wants to confirm his word. Amen. God always wants to confirm his word. So one thing that builds faith in people is the word of God. So you want to create an atmosphere of God's presence, you have to learn how to allow the word of God to build your faith. What does that mean? You must have time to read God's word all the time, okay? Or to listen to God's word. Listen to God's word means, if it's possible, have an audio Bible playing in your home. Have other good preaching messages playing in your home, or in your car, or in your office. Because that is the only thing that builds faith. Faith comes by what? The word of God. Amen. So the word of God builds your faith. And your faith creates an atmosphere. Do you know what Jesus said? He said, whatever two or three shall what? Gather together in my name, I will be there. Whatever two or three shall gather together in my name, I will be there. So faith compels the presence of God to a place. So imagine two or three people in a home who are exercising faith towards God on the same word. They pull in the presence of God. They pull in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Faith. Let me show you this. When Jesus was going to raise Jairus' daughter up, Luke chapter 8 from verse 49. Luke chapter 8 verse 49. While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. Hallelujah. So what is that supposed to be doing? Discouragement, isn't it? Yeah, there are certain people, when they talk, all your faith is gone. Now, this is a man who went to Jesus. My daughter is sick. Come and heal him. Jesus followed the man. But before they got to the house, somebody came and told the man that, don't worry, Jesus. The case is hopeless. Hallelujah. And every now and then you meet people like that. They will tell you that, oh, this is your matter. Even God can't come and change it. That's the lie of the devil, amen? Yeah. Now, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him and said what? Do not be afraid. Only believe and she will be made well. Amen. Now listen to what the people said. Listen to what Jesus said. Hallelujah. Verse 51. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother, of the girl. Do you know why? Because the rest didn't have any faith. Hallelujah. The rest didn't have what? They didn't have faith. If he had allowed them in, they would have been there with all the doubt and all the unbelief, and they would have created a wrong atmosphere, and it would have been more difficult for the young girl to be raised back to life. So what did Jesus do? He said, only the father, the mother, Peter, James, and John, even the 12 apostles, not all of them were allowed in. Amen. Yeah. Very, very important. So faith has a way of creating an atmosphere. Unbelief creates an atmosphere. Unbelief creates an atmosphere. It creates an atmosphere where no miracles will ever happen. Let me show you to Mark chapter 6 from verse 4. Mark 6, 4. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Because every prophet has honor everywhere, except in his own house, among his relations. He will never have honor because of familiarity. Hallelujah. Familiarity causes people to lose faith. Verse 5. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. Hello? Now, was Jesus powerful? Yes. He couldn't work many miracles there. Is it because he was not powerful? No. Unbelief created negative effects. Amen? Yeah. So sometimes you can be sick. There are places where you find yourself. Healing will happen quickly because of the atmosphere you find yourself under. There are some places where you fall sick. You can die easily. You can die easily. You have to move from there. So that is why even demonic attacks, it is strategically programmed to a location. Sometimes the devil will attack you. He will program the attack to a location because not everything can happen everywhere. Amen. Not everything can happen everywhere. So Jesus, with all the power, all the miracle, he went to Nazareth and they didn't believe in him. So their unbelief had its own atmosphere that opposed his power to perform miracles. So faith creates atmosphere. Amen. Yeah. So the kind of atmosphere you create by your faith determines the things that happen there. Amen. Yeah, the kind of atmosphere you create. So prayer creates atmosphere. Faith creates atmosphere. What else? Your words. Your words. Your fourth one is what? Music. Fifth one is what? The sixth one is what? Okay, five is enough, isn't it? You see, when I'm talking about association, I'm talking about agreement. All right? Look at Psalm 133. It talks about agreement. Even in the book of Acts, we just read, they were in the upper room with one accord. Remember? Yeah, it talks about agreement. You know, agreement creates atmosphere. That's why if the devil enter a place, the first thing he does is confusion. The devil's greatest desire is that two people should never agree. Because Jesus said, any house that is divided against itself can never stand. So Jesus said this way. He said, anywhere that two shall agree concerning anything that shall touch, it shall be done. So there is power in agreement. That's why when Jesus was sending the disciples to go and preach, he sent them two by two. He said, when you enter a city, don't carry anything with you. Look for a house where they will accept you and let your blessing remain on that house. And from there, preach, work miracles, do everything, and come back. Amen? There's only one way the devil can stop those two people from releasing the power Jesus gave them, was to knock their head together so they fight. That is why people who are full of the Spirit, they don't create divisions. They create agreements. They create unity. People are full of demons, they create divisions. All right. Agreement. Amen. Someone addressed, said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Verse 2. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down upon the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded a blessing, life forevermore. So unity is very powerful. Anywhere you see a few believers, three of them, five of them, 10 of them praying together, worshiping together, it builds a dynamics in the spirit. How many were there in the upper room? 120. But it moved the whole of Jerusalem. Amen. So what does this mean? Don't waste time with people you don't agree with. Amen. And don't allow people into your space who don't agree with you. Hallelujah. Yeah, don't allow people into your space. Protect your space from people you don't agree with. They don't agree with you. Amen. Yeah, because it messes up the atmosphere you're trying to create. You have to know how to guard that. Not everybody can live in your home, no matter how good a Christian you are. Some people just have to get out, I tell you. Otherwise, ask me why God sent Michael and the angels to cast out the old dragon because of disagreement. The day Lucifer became Satan, God said, "You are out of here, out of here, out of here. Out, 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 out." Amen? Out. Drove him out. That is why Jesus drove people out when he wanted to raise that girl. He said, only the father, only the mother, only Peter, James, and John come in, the rest out. Because we don't have like faith. Amen. And by the way, when you disagree with people, it doesn't mean you are enemies. It's just that you don't agree. So you agree to disagree. Amen. You are not enemies. But you cannot coexist with people you don't agree with, who don't agree with you. It's dangerous. Hallelujah. Let's finish up with music. How many of you know music is a very powerful thing? You know, music is the life of the spirit world. Music is what? If you are making noise, you write that down. Music is what? The life wire. Maybe let's say it that way. The life wire of the spirit world. So every culture has its own kind of music. Do you realize it? Every culture. So the Ashantis don't play Agbaja because it's not their culture. The Ashantis have their music. Is it true? Yeah. So when you hear Agbaja, you can tell which people are there, isn't it? Because music defines culture. When you go to a fetish house, you will hear a particular kind of music. It invokes spirits. It invokes the fetish spirits to operate. So music is very, very significant. If you read the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 5, I want to show you something very serious. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 11. And it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping their divisions. Verse 12. And the Levites, who were the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, string instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding trumpets. Indeed, it came to pass, when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instrument of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever," the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. So the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house. So you can release God's glory into your house easily by music. And you can invoke demons into your house by music. The kind of music you play, you know. Because some of you, you don't like praise and worship songs. You don't like inspiring, Holy Ghost-inspired music. Some of you, you know all the worldly songs, but you don't know any worship song. Do you know what you do when you play those songs in your home and your cars? You are opening up the spirit realm to the demons that back these songs. Are you understanding me? 90% of all worldly musicians consult spirits. Let me tell you, 90% of all musicians consult spirits, whether they are gospel singers or worldly singers. Those who compose godly songs, they fast and pray, they wait on God, they seek God, God gives them songs. Those who don't know God, they also go to fetish houses. Some of them belong to occult groups, and they join these occult practices and rituals to make them popular so their songs can be. Because sometimes, tell the truth, some of the songs these people really compose, it's all nonsense. When you listen, it's all foolish. There's no head and tail of the song. You just hear some noise, here and there. But people like it. It is demons. It's demons. But people like it. When you play it, if I play that song here now, some people will jump up. Now, you know, there is nothing you sensible you hear from that song. You know, because these people consult a lot of demonic powers to make them popular. Are you understanding? But what they also don't know is that these same demons they consult to make them popular also back the songs they compose. So that when you play those songs in your home, you are opening up your home to those same spirits that same musician has gone to consult. You understand? Yeah. The Bible says that the priests and the musicians, they came together in the temple and they were playing and they were singing. And as they were doing that, the glory of God filled the house. So praise and worship releases God's glory. The Bible says, enter his presence with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So every time you are playing or singing yourself, sometimes the Bible said, come into his presence with singing, Psalm 100. Even it doesn't matter your voice. Every morning you wake up, sing to him. God gave you that voice. He likes it the way it is. Amen. He said, come into his presence with singing. So sing to him. Amen. Yeah, sing to him. Don't say, I don't have a good voice. Sing to him. He said, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts we pray. So as you constantly play praise songs, worship songs, do you know what you are doing? You are releasing God's presence and God's glory continually where you are. Amen? And you are making it more difficult for demons to have access to your home. Yeah. You are making it more difficult for demons. That is why any pastor who knows how to cultivate the presence of God in a church, they pay attention to the music in the church because that is what is the live wire of the spirit realm. Now, Kenneth Hagin says that you can determine the level of anointing and the move of the spirit in the church by listening to the music. Let me tell you an example. If you like, let's all decide to sing 3 funeral songs right now. Most of you will start crying before we even find out what is he crying about. It's true. If we sing 4 funeral songs here right now, this whole place will be filled with sadness. People remember their dead loved ones and all that. Because music has a powerful effect on your emotions and your expectations. So if you want to create atmospheres, apart from your fasting and prayer, apart from association, apart from your faith and your words, music. Amen. Play praise and worship in your house all the time. All the time. If you are tired of praise and worship, play an audio Bible or play a preaching message of anointed men of God. Play it. Play it. Play it all the time. You know, if you enter my car, I'm playing preaching all the time. All the time. And I'll specific men of God, I play all the time. If I'm at home and I'm not studying, I'm listening to preaching all the time. Different men of God. Sometimes at night, I play worship throughout. That's why I don't see demons too much in my dreams. Amen? I don't see demons too much. Hallelujah. You have to know how to cultivate the presence of God. The spirit was moving over the surface of the earth. And God began to speak. God began to speak. Look, you see, some of you, it's very difficult for God to have access to you unless you are in church. Very, very bad. You see, you are supposed to live under open heaven 24/7 by guarding your atmosphere, how you cultivate and you nurture every environment that you find yourself in. Very, very important. I encourage everyone, get an audio Bible on your phone or your tablet. It's very, very good. Very good. It's an easy way of studying the Bible more. Every day, I listen to at least one book in the Bible, audio. Just a short while, you've gone through all and played over and over and over and over. It feeds your spirit. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. You see, your spirit man feeds only on the word. Your body feeds on food. Your spirit feeds on the word. So you must hear the word. That's why it's good to buy CDs and play it. And one CD, you should play it more than 10 times. over and over and over and over and over. What I preach right now, if you get a CD, you will hear things that you never heard when I was preaching now. Even myself that is preaching. Most of the time I listen to my CD, I say, did I say that? It's good to listen to CDs. It helps to feed your spirit. It helps to create an atmosphere. Listen, don't just say it doesn't matter. Don't play with certain things in your house and say it doesn't matter. Don't play with certain things. When you create an atmosphere of the presence of God in your home, you have to monitor it. You understand what it means to monitor? Because every now and then, there will be intrusion. There will be intrusion. Amen. Anyway, put your right hand over your head. Amen. Impartation. You see, certain things I cannot teach you. Some of the things I just taught, I never read it from any book. There are certain things I cannot teach you. But the Holy Spirit, when you catch the anointing, you will know a lot by yourself.
Hope you've been blessed by today's message. You can contact Reverend Hubert on 030-340-7970 or 024-33-11201. Remain blessed.